Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, March 23rd, 2020. Coming up this hour.
U.S. futures tumble after Congress fails to pass a coronavirus stimulus package.
President Trump calls in the National Guard to aid states with the most infections.
The economic fallout comes into focus as the St. Louis Fed predicts unemployment as high as 30%.
New York implements dramatic restrictions to slow the virus. Plus, U.S. Senator Rand Paul says he has COVID-19. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, the fate of the Olympics is up in the air. We'll check in on the Mets and Yankees, and the Jets add some help in the secondary.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak, being brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Take the bond challenge by using the free IBKR bond scanner to compare available yields against those of your broker. Learn more at ibkr.com/bonds.
U.S. futures are falling after Congress failed to agree on a coronavirus stimulus plan. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures lower by 72 points. Dow futures down 620. NASDAQ futures lower by 197 points. The 10-year is up 12 32nds, yield 0.80%. 2-year Treasury yield 0.30%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.4% or 32 cents to $22.32 a barrel. COMEX gold 0.7% higher or $10.50 to $14.98.60 an ounce. Euro at 1.0681 against the dollar. The yen at 110.53. And this data check is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more. John?
And we begin on Capitol Hill, where Senate Democrats voted to block the coronavirus rescue package.
The bottom line is very simple. We are fighting for a better bill, because this bill will have an effect for a very, very long time.
Senator Chuck Schumer says the measure is partisan. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is pushing Democrats to reconsider their vote.
The result of what the majority leader, the Democratic leader just did, was to prevent us from voting right after the markets open in the morning and allow the markets to be rattled until noon.
McConnell's still pushing to get the bill passed today with another vote this morning.
Meantime, the National Guard is ramping up its fight to contain the outbreak.
The federal government will be funding 100% of the cost of deploying National Guard units to carry out approved missions.
President Trump is deploying more than 7,000 troops to aid New York, California, and Washington. So far, there's been a backlog in testing for the virus. Vice President Mike Pence says that should be resolved by midweek.
At this day's reporting, 254,000 Americans have been tested and received results in coronavirus tests, with slightly more than 30,000 actually testing positive.
More Americans are being isolated this week. Non-essential employees in 8 states are now required to stay at home as deaths in the U.S. climb to 400.
The economic fallout could be dramatic, with nearly a third of Americans out of work. That's according to St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard, who spoke exclusively with Bloomberg's Steve Matthews via phone.
We're putting this initial number as of today at 30%. That's a 30% unemployment rate.
Do you think 30% of the labor force could be unemployed in the second quarter?
Yeah, I think so.
Bullard also predicts a 50% drop in second quarter GDP. He says everything is on the table when it comes to the Fed supporting the economy and markets.
Neel Kashkari is also painting a grim outlook for the economy.
My base case scenario is we will at least have a mild recession like after 9/11. The worst case would be we'd have a deep recession like the 2008 financial crisis. We just don't know right now.
Speaking to 60 Minutes on CBS, the Minneapolis Fed president says the central bank still has plenty of ammunition to avoid the worst outcome.
We're moving much faster than we moved in 2008. We're being more aggressive. Is there more we can do? Yes. Is there more we may end up doing? Yes. But I think we're being very aggressive.
When it comes to government action, Kashkari calls for forgivable loans for small business and bold stimulus from Congress.
Stocks in the Asia-Pacific slumped overnight with equities hitting four-year lows. Joining us now with details from Singapore is Bloomberg's Juliet Sally. Juliet, good morning.
Good morning, John and Nathan. India's Sensex traded at December 2016 lows, falling the most since April 1992 and triggering a circuit breaker within minutes of the opening bell. In Australia, the ASX 200 fell to December 2012 lows after the government shut pubs, restaurants and casinos. In China, the CSI 300 closed at a one-year low. And in Hong Kong, we also saw weakness coming through as Hong Kong announced it will impose a travel restriction for all non-residents. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. In China, cases of COVID-19 continue to slow, and that has Beijing talking up prospects for a rapid economic recovery. Here with details is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
PBOC Deputy Governor Chen Yulu says economic indicators will show big improvement in the second quarter, and China will swiftly regain potential output. Premier Li Keqiang says the government is optimizing policies to help, but economists are not so sure. They've slashed their forecasts. The median estimate for growth is just 3% this year, the lowest since 1976. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thanks. U.S. futures are falling as the impact from the outbreak comes into focus. The next reading of the fallout comes Thursday with government data on jobless claims, and projections are grim. With more, here's Bloomberg's Danny Berger.
It's no wonder that markets are getting hit with the ugly stick this morning between the stimulus not passing and these calls for what the U.S. economy is going to look like amid the coronavirus fears. So there's a call from Goldman Sachs. Goldman sees that last week's unemployment numbers are going to rise to 2.5 million. This is by far a record, blows any of the previous numbers we've seen out of the water. So this forecast is based on a preliminary survey of about 30 states. I should say that the survey of economists by Bloomberg, not as drastic as Goldman, but still very high. They see the average number coming in at 1.5 million.
And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures declining, Dow futures down 2.8%, down 527 points. S&P futures are 64 points lower. That's down 2.8%. NASDAQ futures down 168, down 2.4%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's now 6:07. Let's get news from around the world. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. New York implemented dramatic restrictions to slow the spread of COVID-19 that has killed more than 14,000 people worldwide and is threatening to make the state one of the biggest hotspots. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is appealing for help from the federal government. The mayor had a phone call with President Trump and Vice President Pence last evening and says his city needs more medical specialists.
Even with the best health care professionals in the country, we're going to lose some folks to this disease for a period of time. We're going to have a lot of exhausted folks in the ever-growing need. We have to expand rapidly the number of medical facilities. We've got to get more personnel into this equation. I think they heard it. I don't want to say that they gave me a specific answer yet, but I think they heard it.
About 400 people have died due to the coronavirus in the United States, and U.S. cases topped 32,000, with almost half in New York State. Kentucky Republican Rand Paul is the first U.S. senator to test positive for coronavirus. Paul, who voted against two emergency coronavirus spending bills this month, announced on Twitter that he is in quarantine. Senators Mike Lee and Mitt Romney say they will go into self-quarantine because of the time they've spent with Paul. Senator Rick Scott of Florida says he's at home right now.
I called the physician at the Senate. He said, look, you probably don't have high risk. And I said, well, I decided I can't expect everybody else to quarantine if I'm not going to do it. So I said, I'm not going to take a chance.
In its most far-reaching measures to stop the spread of coronavirus, Italy is slowing industrial production nationwide, while the hardest-hit region of Lombardy banned any outdoor exercise not on personal property and set distance limits on dog walking. China sent the vice president of China's Red Cross, Sun Xiuping, to Rome to help uncover why the Italian death rate from the coronavirus is so high.
You are not having very strict lockout policy of the city because the public transportation is still working and people are still moving around and you're still having like dinners and parties in the hotels and you're not wearing masks.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg Chun.
Michael, thank you. 6:10 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Ron Boschke.
Good morning, John. With the coronavirus putting the sports world on hold, it makes us miss our favorite teams and players even more. How are they coping with the stoppage in play? The Yankees, one of the AL favorites this year, have had many players at home, including skipper Aaron Boone, a guest on MLB Radio on Sirius XM.
You know, I feel like our guys as a whole do a really good job of kind of preparing themselves and putting themselves in a good position. So I'm confident that our guys will be really responsible no matter where they disperse to or if they stay here. You know, I know they're going to do all they can to kind of stay ready. It's going to evolve every day, and it's going to be more and more advanced every day, and hopefully eventually we start to get some more clarity and know exactly with what we're dealing with.
The Yankees have had two minor leaguers test positive for the virus in a statement issued on Sunday. If Florida officials enact a stay-at-home policy, the Yankees, who have stayed behind at the Tampa facility, could be forced to stop working out or receiving treatment. Big names such as Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and DJ LeMahieu are still in Tampa and use the facilities daily. Commissioner Rob Manfred said last week it would be at least May before the season would even return. The International Olympic Committee said Sunday that it's not yet postponing the Tokyo Games to start July 2nd. An announcement's due in the next 4 weeks as pressure continues to mount worldwide. The 1916, 1940, and 1944 games were all canceled because of World War I and II. Canada has pulled out sending athletes in 2020, period. NFL news, the Jets have reached a deal with former Colts cornerback Pierre Desir on a one-year deal. The 29-year-old's contract is worth up to $5.5 million. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
All right, Rob, thanks. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures point to a lower open. The Dow futures down 536 points, S&P futures 64 points lower, and the Nasdaq E-Munich futures down 173 points. We have VIX up about 8.5%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. We're brought to you by Land Rover, the only adventure sales event happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Nathan Hager. The plunge for stocks around the world continues this morning after a weekend surge in deaths from the novel coronavirus and a failure by Congress to agree to a $2 trillion stimulus plan. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are lower by 69 points. Dow futures down 565. NASDAQ futures a decline of 179 points. DAX in Germany is down 3.5%. The CAC in Paris down 3.4%. FTSE in London down 4.25%. 10 years up 11 30 seconds. The yield 0.81%. 2-year Treasury yield 0.29%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.2% or 26 cents, $22.37 a barrel. COMEX gold is higher by 0.9% or $12.70 at $1,570 to the ounce. The euro is at 1.0671 against the dollar, and the yen at 110.69. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. The Senate Democrats blocked Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's attempt to advance a coronavirus economic rescue package Sunday after leaders in both chambers disagreed on how to spend nearly $2 trillion. The 47-47 vote, with 60 needed to advance the measure, puts in question McConnell's plan for the Senate to pass the bill today. Republican Senator Rand Paul says he now has the coronavirus. Paul, who voted against two emergency coronavirus spending bills this month, announced on Twitter that he tested positive for the virus and is in quarantine. Italy has banned any movement inside the country and reported another 651 fatalities from the virus. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 620 on Wall Street, we're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Joining us now, our next guest, Ben Laidler. He's right now, Ben Laidler, formerly with HSBC Holdings, a global equity strategist there, and now with his own shop. But Ben, good morning to you. I appreciate your being here this morning. Let me ask you this. With the great unknown being the x-axis, the time function for all this, when we're going to see the COVID-19 crisis end, how can you model anything at this point? Can we trust any forecasts?
I'll tell you what we're looking at. I mean, we're looking at two things here. So we're looking at sort of sentiment, which you're right, you can sort of throw the fundamentals out the window a little bit right now because they're just moving so quickly and there's so much uncertainty. But when we look back at sort of previous crises, you know, this sort of magnitude of a pullback, sort of 30% plus, and this sort of sentiment capitulation when you have the VIX at over 60, put call ratio over 1, the amount of fund outflows you're seeing. I mean, those sort of technical indicators are all looking very, very interesting to us and are telling us that the risk reward is sort of shifting from, we should be beginning to look at things to buy rather than looking at things to sell. The missing point here is sort of quantifying the downside, as you sort of outlined at the beginning on the sort of fundamentals. And we've been looking very closely at, you know, where are GDP expectations, where are earnings expectations? And until recently, they've held up very, very well, which is clearly unrealistic. You know, we are going into a recession. We are probably going into a sort of double-digit down sort of earnings year. Those numbers have finally begun to move. And I think what's so important about this week is you're going to get some sort of real numbers to let economists and analysts begin to put in more realistic, you know, numbers. We're going to get jobs claims of probably well over a million at the end of this week. We're going to get the PMIs, not only in the U.S., but sort of globally, which I think are going to be consistent with recession. I mean, these are important data points. They're going to allow sort of analysts to put in more realistic earnings and GDP numbers. They're not going to get it right. They're probably still going to be too bullish. But I think it's a sort of necessary part of the process, which gets us a lot closer to that sort of buying opportunity. But I do think, we're closer to looking for things to buy at this point rather than looking for things to sell.
Okay, with that high-frequency data, it would appear that the canary in the coal mine is pretty much keeled over at this point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The question is just how big is this recession? How big is how much earnings are going to fall here? But, you know, just to put some numbers on this, if you think, and, you know, rightly or wrongly, 15 times earnings is your sort of long-term average S&P 500, you know, multiple, at 2,300, which is where we sort of were on Friday, that's equates to a 5 or 6% earnings decline.
Well, we do have the P and the PE. We're lacking the E right now, though.
Yeah, absolutely. So cut that 15 times sort of historic number at a 2,300 S&P equals 5-6% down in earnings for this year. That's a lot more realistic than we were a couple of weeks ago. It's still too light. I think we're probably going down, you know, over 10% for earnings this year. But my point is we're just a lot closer than we were sort of a couple of weeks ago. Expectations are really becoming a lot more realistic. Again, we're not quite there yet. I do think we're going to get some really important, data points this week. I can see forward in a week or two's time when these expectations are looking more realistic and the technicals, I say, were already, you know, pretty positive in terms of this sort of sentiment capitulation, the magnitude of, the correction. That, we should be looking at, you know, what are those recovery trades that you want to own when, markets sort of do begin to bottom? We're never going to catch the bottom, but, what are we looking at? I mean, our model is telling us we should basically stay in defensives right now. I mean, that's the core position. But there are some sort of interesting, more cyclical sectors that are, you know, like real estate, for example, which are, you know, is in the sort of buy quadrant of our framework. We'd be beginning to look at things like that. Again, still a bit too early, but, you know, the risk reward is definitely shifting down at these levels with the data I think we're going to get this week. You should be beginning to look at these things, at least doing the homework, rather than, you know, I think it's too late to sell at this point.
What's the first sign of capitulation?
Well, I think you've seen it on the more technical side. I mean, the VIX at 60, you know, is extraordinarily high. Put call ratio over 1. Those are real historic capitulation levels. Interestingly, the bit that hasn't entirely capitulated yet is retail investors. if you look at that sort of association of American individual investors, you know, the percent that still want to buy is 35%. The average is 40. The low was 20. So, you know, individual investors really hanging in there. You've had some fairly strong mutual fund outflows over the last few weeks, but not quite a capitulation there. But again, overall sentiment is in that sort of sending a buy signal. Sort of magnitude of correction, sort of 30% plus, again, historically has really shifted the risk-reward to buying.
Ben, thanks a lot. Good to talk to you. Ben Laidler with Tower Hudson Research, the CEO there. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, Dow futures right now 578 points lower. That's down 3%. S&P futures down 69. That's a 3% decline. The Nasdaq E-mini futures down 185 points, down 2.7%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're brought to you by Land Rover. The only adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details of the new Discovery Sport Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are falling. That's after Congress failed to agree on a stimulus plan to fight the fallout from COVID-19. Democrats and Republicans are at odds on what to put in this package. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
Democrats like Elizabeth Warren say the money is in the wrong place.
It creates a slush fund for the big guys and no help for workers and no help for hospitals.
And this has held up procedural votes to the dismay of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Fiddling with the emotions of the American people, fiddling with the markets, fiddling with our health care.
And the president, during his briefing, said he feels it will come together.
The Democrats and the Republicans are agreed that we have to take care of our workers, and we're going to be doing that.
So whether or not there will be a full vote today is still an open question. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. The economic fallout from the outbreak could be dramatic, with nearly a third of Americans out of work. That's according to St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard, who spoke exclusively with Bloomberg's Steve Matthews via phone.
Today at 30%. That's a 30% unemployment rate.
Do you think 30% of the labor force could be unemployed in the second quarter?
Yeah, I think so.
Bullard also predicts a 50% drop in second quarter GDP. He says everything is on the table when it comes to the Fed supporting the economy and markets.
Now, the next reading on the coronavirus fallout comes Thursday with government data on jobless claims, and the projections are grim. Here with more is Bloomberg's Danny Berger.
Goldman Sachs sees that last week's unemployment numbers are going to rise to 2.5 million. This is by far a record. I should say that the survey of economists by Bloomberg, not as drastic as Goldman, but still very high. They see the average number coming in at 1.5 million.
And pessimistic outlooks like that are pushing global stocks lower this morning, including U.S. equity futures. S&P futures contracts down 65 points, Dow futures down 531, NASDAQ futures a loss of 169 points. DAX in Germany is down 3.5%, the CAC in Paris lower by 3.1%. London's FTSE 100 down 4.2%. The 10-year back in the U.S. up 8/32, yield 0.81%. 2-year Treasury yield 0.29%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.33% or 16 cents at $22.51 a barrel. COMEX gold higher by 0.9% or $13 to $15.01.10 an ounce. The euro is at 1.0680 against the dollar. The yen at 110.55. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Nathan. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update now being brought to you by Land Rover, the only adventure sales event happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport Land Rover, above and beyond. Let's get news from around the world. And here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you, sir. About 400 people have died due to the coronavirus in the United States. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is appealing for help from the federal government. The mayor was asked about a phone call that took place Sunday evening with the president and vice president.
I made clear what I've been saying publicly, that we, of course, need and welcome the supplies, but I made clear also we have to get these supplies here very rapidly from around the country. No one does that better than the military, and we need the personnel.
The number of U.S. cases topped 32,000, with almost half of those cases in New York State. Governor Andrew Cuomo said that an estimated 40% to 80% of residents could get the coronavirus over the course of the pandemic. Two other Republican senators, Mike Lee and Mitt Romney, said they will go into self-quarantine after Rand Paul of Kentucky announced that he's tested positive for COVID-19. Senator Rick Scott of Florida says he's taking precautions as well.
I'd like to understand exactly where Rand was and what the risk is. I think everybody ought to be talking to the Senate physician about what their risk is and whether they need to be quarantined. That's what I did as soon as I found out that somebody had been tested positive with the Brazil delegation that I was around. I called the physician at the Senate.
The National Guard ramped up its role in containing the coronavirus in the U.S., with 7,300 troops deployed across the country to combat the outbreak. President Trump ordered new force activations to aid California, New York, and Washington State. New Zealand will go into a nationwide lockdown within 2 days as the government tries to slow the spread of COVID-19. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says her nation has no choice if it wants to slow the spread of the virus.
Everything you will all give up for the next few weeks, all of the lost contact with others, all of the isolation and difficult time entertaining children, it will literally save lives, thousands of lives.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo ventured abroad for the first time since the virus pandemic hit the U.S. in full force. Pompeo made a surprise visit to Afghanistan's capital today as part of a bid to inject new momentum into an already faltering peace process with the Taliban. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:36 on Wall Street, and it's time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Bushka.
Morning, John. As concerns continue to grow over the spread of the coronavirus, virtually all sporting events have been shut down. We enter our third week without major events, and spring training's been shut down for 2 weeks. Mets GM Brody Van Wagenen on how he plans to keep his team safe.
We are encouraging our players to do the right and make the right decision for them, that this is bigger than opening day. We want to make sure that their families and friends and their own individual health is of the paramount concern at this point.
Both the Mets and Yankees play in the Grapefruit League in Florida, which is teetering on a statewide shutdown, a stay-home order. If enacted, prominent Mets and Yankees who've stayed behind to use the facilities daily, they'll be forced with a new decision of where to practice and where to seek treatment. Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred said over the weekend the earliest we'd see baseball would be May. The International Olympic Committee is being scrutinized for not delaying the start of the Olympic Games in Tokyo, scheduled to begin July 2nd. They said in an official announcement it'll be forthcoming within the next 4 weeks. Three games have been canceled in the past, 1916, 1940, and 1944 because of World Wars I and II. The Olympics continued in 1972 amid terrorist attacks at the Games in Munich. Canada will keep their athletes at home if the Games are played at any point in 2020. And in the NFL, the Jets shore up the secondary, scooping up former Colts cornerback Pierre Desir on Sunday, just hours after being released. The 29-year-old is scheduled to make $5.5 million this upcoming season on the one-year deal. And that is your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
And thanks, John. Coming up this week, we get economic data on manufacturing. The reading from early this month could be right where the coronavirus outbreak began to hit the U.S. economy. Here with a preview, Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Research firm Market issues its factory PMI for this month, and economists surveyed by Bloomberg see the index pointing to contraction. Manufacturers are putting the brakes on assembly lines and waiting for the storm to pass. Look for weakness in regional factory data from the Federal Reserve Banks of Richmond and Kansas City, too. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it is now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
No, we're not all going to have to stay home for 18 months. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. How do we know we aren't doing ourselves more harm fighting the coronavirus than the virus would do to us on its own? We don't. Faced with the prospect of overwhelmed hospitals and huge death tolls, governments all over are shutting down schools and offices and urging people to stay home. They're probably right to do so. As time goes by, though, we're going to know more about the disease and how to fight it, and the pressure to justify such actions in cost-benefit terms will grow. Shutting down the world economy for a year or more until we have a vaccine would be insane, possibly leading to more deaths than the virus ever could. That's not going to be the only choice, though. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:39 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
The coronavirus hit to the global airline industry is threatening much tougher greenhouse gas emission targets on air travel, prompting governments and regulators to look at how they can soften the impact. Airlines are concerned because they could be hit with a sharp rise in compliance costs just as they're trying to exit a period of lost revenue caused by the global pandemic. A Federal Aviation Administration official said many airline groups and countries, including China, have been raising concerns over a United Nations plan set to take effect next year. It calls for airlines flying internationally to compensate, starting in 2021, for carbon emissions that exceed the annual average of emissions. The average is supposed to be calculated using 2019 and 2020 as baseline years. But this year's carbon emissions are likely to end up artificially low since the coronavirus outbreak has decimated global air travel. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, thanks, Bob. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures are lower. They were a limit down earlier, pairing the worst levels of the session right now. Dow futures down 451 points, down 2.4%. S&P futures 55 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're brought to you by Land Rover, the only adventure sales event happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on a new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Stocks continue to drop around the world along with U.S. equity futures after the death toll surged over the weekend from the novel coronavirus. The U.S. Congress failed to agree on a $2 trillion stimulus plan. Treasuries are rising as a Federal Reserve official reiterates his willingness to unleash more support. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are lower now by 52 points. Dow futures down 419. NASDAQ futures lower by 122 points. The 10-year is up 10 32nds, yield 0.81%. 2-year treasury yield 0.29%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.2% or 14 cents, $22.49 gets you a barrel of West Texas Intermediate. COMEX gold is higher by 0.8% or $12.10 to $1,500.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0676 against the dollar. Pound sterling 1.1587 and the yen is at 110.58. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Office workers are hauling computers and plants to their cars, and shoppers are stripping shelves bare of coffee, flour, and toilet paper before New Zealand starts a 4-week lockdown. People must stay home and all non-essential business and activities cease when the lockdown begins late Wednesday night. The decision came as health officials announced another 36 confirmed cases of COVID-19, bringing the total to 102. Most were tied to travel overseas, but two of the cases could not be traced, and officials believe there is evidence that is a local break. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is making a surprise visit to Afghanistan's capital today as part of a bid to inject new momentum into an already faltering peace process with the Taliban. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where Congress and the White House are still working to agree on another massive round of stimulus aimed at addressing the economic blow from the coronavirus.
I do think it will get done. We've been working around the clock in the Senate with the Republicans and the Democrats. I've been speaking to Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, the Speaker, and I think we have a fundamental understanding, and we look forward to wrapping it up today.
That was Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin on Fox News Sunday. But as that work continues today, health officials are working to ensure the outbreak doesn't spiral out of control. Dr. Anthony Fauci with the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases was asked on CBS's Face the Nation whether the U.S. is on the same trajectory as Italy. Fauci's answer, not necessarily.
We don't know why they are suffering so terribly, but there's a possibility, and many of us believe, that early on they did not shut out as well the input of infections that originated in China and came to different parts of the world.
FEMA Administrator Peter Gaynor tells ABC's This Week his agency's working to get protective equipment to healthcare workers across the country.
It is hundreds of thousands of millions of things that we're shipping from the stockpile. I mean, I can't give you the details about what every single state or what every single city's doing, but I'm telling you that we are shipping from our national stockpile, we're shipping from vendors, we're shipping from donations. It is happening.
But Maryland Governor Larry Hogan tells NBC's Meet the Press,
we've pushed for action, and we are getting some progress. Now, it's not nearly enough, it's not fast enough, we're way behind the curve. But let's talk about, you know, we're trying to figure out what we can do to move forward. And they are making progress. It's not fast enough. But on all of those things, on respirators, on PPEs, on the masks, on the tests, we're ramping up.
And that is some of the conversation from the political shows you hear every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio, starting with NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Fox News Sunday at noon. Then it's ABC's This Week at 1 p.m. and Face the Nation from CBS at 2 o'clock. Now it's Monday morning, and we're joined by Wendy Schiller, the political science chair at Brown University. Wendy, we started off that tape this morning with Treasury Secretary Mnuchin sounding optimistic that the stimulus was going to get done by yesterday. Obviously, it is the morning after, and it is still not done. Is this just the same political gridlock that Washington has dealt with for years, or is something else going on here?
Nathan, that's a big question here, but I think this is something that the Democrats learned from the way that they bailed out the economy or tried to bail out the economy in 2009, 2010, even starting with Bush and TARP. The idea of clarifying to the American voter exactly who gets what and that businesses will not be the only ones that get this kind of important relief. And I think they learned that. They lost the House in 2010, they lost the Senate in 2014, they lost the White House in 2016, partly because people didn't believe that the federal government had done enough for them. So the Democrats have figured this out, and it is political. It's an election year, but it's also systematic. They want to make sure that these mechanisms are in place in the event they have to get extended. For example, longer unemployment, paid sick leave, or the conditions for paid sick leave, and also not bailing out companies that don't keep their employees on payroll, and giving that discretion to the Secretary of the Treasury rather than having that as a stipulation of getting the money, I think is one of the big sticking points.
I guess that raises the question whether Republicans are keeping mind of that lesson as well. Of course, the Republicans control the Senate, which is going to have to pass any major stimulus as well.
Right. Well, we still have the filibuster, very barely, but it is for legislative action, no longer for executive appointments or judicial nominees. But for executive action, you actually need 60 to get over a filibuster. And then we have a couple of Republican senators, one who just tested positive, who are in quarantine. And Mitch McConnell is not allowed remote voting from, you know, senators' homes. They can't call in to vote. You have to be there. That's a longstanding rule in the Senate. So they don't actually have as many votes as they need even to get to 60, but even to get to a majority without some Democratic support. So they're really stuck. And McConnell doesn't want to go to remote voting, because if you're going to let U.S. senators remote votely, why wouldn't you let America vote remotely? And that gets to mail-in balloting and opening up voting, and that's something Republicans have been resistant to nationally. So they're stuck in a bind here.
Well, you got to wonder whether there's going to be some budge on both those counts, whether to allow remote voting by the Senate or by the American people, because as Joe Biden pointed out over the weekend, there's been some talk of perhaps delaying the November general election due to the coronavirus. He's pushing back against that. Could we see some a bit of wiggle room here? Do you think that's just not going to happen?
You know, we've had a lot of incredible disasters and conflicts and difficulties that the American people have faced. And to my knowledge, we've never delayed the presidential election. And I think that's something you don't want to start talking about, since there's an option. Lots of states do mail-in balloting. There isn't a substantial reason to delay the election when we know we can vote some other way. It's up to state legislatures to actually figure out how to push for this, to make sure they can do it. They can adopt it on their own. And so I think that's why McConnell doesn't want to set the symbolic precedent of having senators be able to do this, but not allowing voters to do it. So there's politics involved. He also thinks he's going to get a deal, which he is. The Democrats can only do this for a couple of days before public pressure becomes too much and they have to cave. But they're counting on the fact that the messaging that they're engaged in says we are protecting workers and individuals and they are protecting businesses. And the Republicans have 23 seats in the Senate to defend, much less the presidency. They do not want to get caught in that bind.
Is there going to be more pressure on the president, do you think, to take more of a lead in what a stimulus looks like, sort of striking that balance between shoring up businesses and ensuring that individuals are supported through this crisis?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of debate in the chatter and political circles about whether he should go to the podium. Does he speak too much? He's done actually pretty well in the last week. And he apparently, from public polling at the moment, is reassuring some people in the country that things will be okay, that he can make decisions. So I think it is important for him to weigh in, to say that he wants to protect the worker, not just for his electoral prospects, but also just so the American people can understand that they're staying at home, they're not getting income, they're really, really terrified about what the economy will look like and what they can feed their families, and the government will help them. I think that's a really important message, and that's typically delivered by the president. The Democrats did not do that effectively 10 years ago, and so if the Republicans, particularly Trump, want to learn any lessons, that's the lesson. But it has to have follow-up. You have to extend unemployment. You have to make sure people get the checks. That's the way Trump can master and harness the power of the presidency and the bully pulpit. Whether he does that effectively this week, we'll see, but I think he certainly has the potential.
Do you think the president is being more effective now in terms of putting out the possibility of better treatments, getting more in line with what his health experts are saying in the task force, and whether there's going to be actual testing happening ramped up more quickly?
I think that's going to come from the ground. I mean, I think the president fundamentally saying, look, most of this has to be dealt with at the state and local level. The federal government can't actually treat people this way, et cetera. We just can't manage that. We're not built that way as a country, and I think that's true. So he would be better off to leave it for the experts, but, of course, he also wants to offer people hope that the government itself will find a way to help save lives. So, I mean, there's a sort of balance he's got to strike there. Do I think he should say things work before we know they work? Probably not. But should he say that we have the promise of it, that we're trying, that that's what the federal government can do, test and be aggressive that way? Yes, he should be saying that. So that's the balance. And so far he hasn't quite got it right. But, you know, you want to hope that this week maybe he does.
Wendy Schiller, always good getting your insights. Wendy Schiller chairs the Political Science Department at Brown University. Get all the latest on the coronavirus pandemic at VRUS Go on the Bloomberg Terminal or online at Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. S&P futures lower by 52 points now. Dow futures down 424. NASDAQ futures lower by 120 points. 10 years up 14/32, yield 0.80%. 2-year treasury yield 0.29%. Much more to come on Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For John Tucker, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.